Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Flames Talk on this Thursday, February 20th with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. And on this Thursday, it's time for our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport. Let's say hello to Derek Wills, the voice of the Flames as well, to complete our Thursday Daily Flames Roundtable. And the news of the day on this Thursday, not a surprise, kind of felt like it was going this direction, and we kind of... This was basically the expectation when Tyson Barrie did not practice with the team on Wednesday morning. He was not out there again on Thursday morning at Winsport. And then Thursday afternoon, Tyson Barrie placed on waivers. And we'll now see if he clears. And we'll now see if the American League is where Barrie will be going after this. But does feel like maybe Tyson's time with the Calgary Flames in the NHL is coming to an end. But I guess with the news of the day and knowing that we've been expecting this for more than 24 hours, just our reaction to Tyson Barrie being placed on waivers on Thursday.
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, he's hardly played this season, and it's got to be tough for him as a guy who has been very productive during his NHL career. I mean, you go back to the start of it, and there are only 8 defensemen in the league who have more points than Tyson Barrie during his career, which it's kind of a mind-blowing stat for me when you think about some of the guys who are ahead of him and some of the guys who are behind him. Tyson Barrie has had a very productive NHL career, so I'm guessing it hasn't been easy for him to only play in 13 games this season. And you know, he played in some to start the year, and then if I remember correctly, he missed 31 consecutive contests, 29 as a healthy scratch, and then 2 on a conditioning stint with the Wranglers. Played 4 games after that and did some good things, but I just think that he's, at this stage of his career, been passed by too many guys in the depth chart. We got a little bit of a look at Ilya Solovyov, who is a younger defenseman who is going to push for a spot to be a full-time NHLer next year, and who knows, after getting a game in before the break, maybe he plays it a bunch after the break as well. You've got Joel Hanley, who's been an 8, a 7, and played in all 3 pairings this season. So he has jumped over Tyson Barrie on the depth chart. And I know it's been an up and down year for Daniil Merimanov, but you know, even he's played a lot more games than Tyson Barrie. So I think that for Tyson, this might be a good opportunity, if he does decide to go down to the AHL and join the Wranglers, to be a mentor for some of the fantastic Flames prospects playing on defense down there. And then who knows, guys, contenders are always looking to add depth defenseman before the deadline. And Tyson Barrie has a fantastic reputation around the NHL. So if he goes down and plays pretty well, wouldn't surprise me if a team, you know, called Craig Conroy and said, hey, we'd like to give Barrie an opportunity to potentially be on an NHL roster, maybe even play in some games, want to add him as depth as we get set for a postseason run. You know, would you take future considerations for him, or would you take a late round pick or something along those lines? So I hope everything works out well for Tyson. He's a really good guy. He's been a really good player, but just too many guys ahead of him on the Flames' depth chart in defense right now.
Yeah, the Flames had to make this move today. I think we would have all been quite critical of them if they were, you know, rather than giving Ilya Solovyov potentially an extended look, if they were just continuing to carry a spare part on their NHL roster. Like, what we've seen, guys, is that Ryan Huska, despite his relationship with Tyson Barrie, you know, despite knowing him going back to Kelowna of the WHL, he doesn't have a ton of trust in the 24-25 edition of Tyson Barrie. And I don't blame him based on what we've seen in 13 games. I think this was this was worth a shot for the Calgary Flames, especially as they look to boost their power play. And, you know, going back to the fall, I wasn't a proponent of signing Tyson Barrie, yet I know why they did it, right? They wanted to see if he could be a difference maker for their power play. Well, he hasn't been. They wanted to see if the offensive impact would outweigh the defensive concerns. Well, unfortunately, it hasn't. You know, Tyson Berry, you know, especially as a guy who's now into his 30s and has maybe lost a step, he's just not a guy that you can put in a third pairing role and really have a lot of trust in. It's certainly not the sort of third pairing guy that Ryan Huska envisions. And so, you know, this is the move that had to be made. You can't. Tyson Berry is a terrific guy. I joke often that I think Canada's entire Four Nations face-off team attended his wedding. Like, he's that well connected in the league. And yet, for all the reputation and for all the positivity that he brings, you can't have a guy on the roster that you're just not going to play. Ilya Solovyov showed us in that Saturday game against Seattle right before the break that he deserves another opportunity. And I think Craig Conroy had to make this move today to open that up.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, first of all, I feel really bad for the guy because, like, this is now for the second time in 6 months, a guy that is facing a career crossroads, right? Like, it can't. And I know that NHLers have the extreme privilege of playing hockey for a living, and they make millions of dollars and all that type of stuff. And that's all true. But at the same time, it's still a guy for the first time kind of being faced with your own mortality and your own limitations. And now his NHL career is at a crossroads. And, you know, he may not play another NHL game for the rest of his career. And that's got to be, I empathize, because I think that all of us at some point, whether it's your early 30s like Tyson or your early 60s or 70s, at some point you're going to get told that the job that you've done for X amount of time, we feel like you're just, it's not a fit anymore. And so I feel really bad for the guy, just because it's happened, and it's happened out of nowhere. And I think part of what makes NHLers is believing that they've still got a ton left in the tank. And so I hope that Tyson is, I hope that he's motivated to go to the Wranglers. I hope he decides to go to the Wranglers and go down there and show everybody that there is still something left in the tank. And you know what? It hasn't worked here in Calgary. I don't think it's going to work with the Flames, but maybe it does with the Wranglers. And here's what I know. Right now, Tyson isn't going to get $1.25 million to play anywhere else, but he will get that if he goes to play with the Wranglers. He isn't going to get playing time anywhere else like he'll probably get with the Wranglers, because he could absolutely help that team down there. And if he goes down and plays 5 or 6 or 7 games between now and the trade deadline, Wilsey, to your point, maybe that does get an NHL team interested and say, hey, you know, we know that we might have to go through 8, 9, 10 defensemen if we're going to get to where we want to go come the playoffs. You know what? We feel like we can make a Tyson Berry addition work. If the Flames eat half the salary, we'll send a draft pick back. All of a sudden, now you don't have to twist yourself in knots to see something like that happening. But it's the right move, because, you know, we had that really fun conversation, and we were kind of poking fun at one another about the Joel Hanley, Ilya Solovyov thing on Wednesday's roundtable. But I think Ilya Solovyov, at the very least, whether he's playing over Hanley, to your point yesterday, Wilsey, or not, I think Solovyov deserves to remain on this roster for the time being, even if it's for a little bit. And I think he deserves to be an option. And I think he deserves to be an option ahead of even a guy like Mira Manav. And if he's in a competition with Hanley and Hanley continues to beat him out, well, good for Joel, because he's kind of done that all season long. But at the very least, I think Solovyov deserves an opportunity to continue practicing with the team, to continue fighting for playing time, and see if he can continue to give them steady minutes if he gets into the lineup. And so to make that happen, you needed to make a move. With Ball back and ready to go, you needed to free up space for a guy who I think we all can agree deserves to, at the very least, be on the roster for a little bit and see what he's all about, even if it isn't playing games all the time. Even if Joel Hanley does keep his spot, having Solovyov practice and be around for a few weeks, at the very least, I think could be really big for him. And so you needed to make a move, and a guy that you're just not comfortable playing it just wouldn't be prudent going forward to keep him on your NHL roster. So I feel bad for Tyson. I hope that he goes to the American League and gets a little confidence back and maybe can work his way into another organization. And I also, I think it's pretty safe to say you probably see Kuznetsov join the Wranglers on their road trip coming up this weekend. You see Solovyov maybe stay with the team. I think those are both good guesses and good assertions. And I think it's deserving for Solovyov to stick around for a little bit. And who knows? Maybe something crazy happens and Barry gets claimed. But Willsie, I hope he goes to the American League and continues to be a good influence for him down there.
Yeah, I just wish him the best. Tyson Barrie has an outstanding reputation around the National Hockey League for being a fantastic teammate. So I wish him all the best, whether it's with the Wranglers or another NHL organization or another AHL team, wherever he ends up, or maybe he decides to call it a career. Who knows? I'm sure that there's a million thoughts going through his head right now. And just a really good person, and he's been a really good player in this league for a long time. So I hope it all ends the right way for him. As far as Ilya Solovyov, I don't mind him staying with the team as long as he's not sitting in the press box every night. I don't think he has to play every night, but he's a young, developing player, so I do think he has to play, whether it be for the Flames or for the Wranglers. And just to wrap our conversation up from yesterday, our debate, if you will, on Joel Hanley and Ilya Solovyov, you know, thinking more about it, trying to factor in some of the things that you guys said, I think that with the way the Flames have played this season, they owe it to the players, they owe it to the coaches, and they owe it to the fans who want them to win hockey games and make the playoffs to ice the best possible lineup. So I think you have to play whoever gives you the best chance to win. If that's a 33-year-old Joel Hanley, play him. If it's a 24-year-old Ilya Solovyov, play him. Just ice the best team, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, agreed.
Let me just throw in one more point on Tyson Barrie, and we've talked so much, and we're certainly not exaggerating it about his reputation as a good teammate. I think Tyson Barrie clearing waivers and joining the Wranglers would be a real good thing, a real potential boost at this point in Hunter Brustevich's career. I would not mind having Tyson Barrie hanging around with Hunter Brustevich for a couple of months or a couple of weeks or whatever it wound up being.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg on this Thursday edition of Flames Talk. You know, it's funny, Willsie, you asked Michael Backlund the question after practice on Thursday about how he's feeling, and Michael Backlund's now practiced in full 3 days in a row. I honestly can't remember the last time that's happened. A, because they haven't practiced 3 days in a row for a while, but also because Backlund wasn't practicing. Leading up to the Four Nations break, he was taking every option. He was, even when it wasn't optional, he a lot of times wasn't out there. A lot of maintenance days, a lot of days not being able to be on the ice, morning skates, regular practices, all that type of stuff. He got back to his first morning skate in ages, the Saturday game against Seattle, which I thought was significant. Gets the two, I guess for them it's more like a week and a half, but gets the time off and comes back, and he's practiced on Tuesday, Wednesday, and now Thursday. And when you asked him, Willsie, he said, yeah, I'm feeling much better and feeling like I'm a little bit closer to 100%. He was obviously, Blake Coleman admitted it, we've all talked about mm-hmm. it, he was playing through something or some things going down the stretch into the break. Knowing all that, how crucial could a healthy Michael Backlund be as the Flames hit the stretch drive starting Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear that he was playing through something, and conditioning is never a question mark when it comes to the captain, because he's always, if not right at the top, then near the top of fitness testing at training camp every year, because he puts in the work during the off season. So it was tough to watch him struggle through some games, and you could tell he was laboring, even taking face-offs looked like it was challenging for him. So I think that the two Flames who probably needed the week and a half or so break more than any others were Michael Backlund, clearly number one, and Dustin Wolf, who after playing in 14 of the first 30 games, played in 19 of the last 25 games, going from the 1B to the 1. And I think he needed a break as well. But You know, Michael Backlund's been flying around at practice this week. I'm sure that him and Blake Coleman, as older players, are energized by having Connor Zeri on the left side of that line again. And as we talked about yesterday, Zeri has been, I think, just outstanding at practice this week, and you know, fits right in with Backlund and Coleman there. So yeah, it's great to see that Michael not only got the physical break that he clearly needed, but when I asked him that question today, he talked about the importance of the mental break, not just for him, but for the entire team. This season, it's been great. You know, it's been a lot of fun to watch the Flames. They're in a way better spot than most people thought they would be 55 games into the season, but it's been a grind. There haven't been a lot of easy nights for this team. They're in so many close games, and whether they're trying to protect a lead or they're, you know, trying to erase a deficit, they've really had to grind a lot of games out. So I think there's physical fatigue with the way they play, because Ryan Huska asked them to play a hard style of hockey, and that's the way they have to play to be successful, and they've done that way more often than not this season. But then there's the grind of knowing that you can't have your B or your C game. That's not going to be good enough against more talented teams. You've got to bring your A or at least your B game almost every night. And then there's the playoff race. You know, at one point in time, they had a 3-point lead for that second wild card spot. They were 1 point out of third place in the Pacific Division. And, you know, you go on a bit of a tough stretch before the break, and all of a sudden you're 3 points out of the wild card spot, and you're way back in the fight for third in the division. So it's been a grind for these guys physically and mentally. And like I said, I think the captain needed the break more than anybody. And based on what I've seen this week, guys, it did Michael Backlund a lot of good.
You know, guys, I think it speaks to the sort of narrow margins that this Flames team needs to work within, that I feel like I'm sort of repeating myself a lot on this roundtable when we have these discussions, because it's sort of the same answer for a lot of things. Like, how important is it for Connor Zeri to be on the brink of a return? Well, for a team that's trying to win one goal games, to get back one of your offensive drivers, it's a huge deal. Well, how important is it for Kevin Ball to be getting cleared to return, or closer to returning from his upper body injury? Well, for a team that has to win one goal games, to get a top pairing defenseman back is massive. And I'd say the exact same thing about Michael Backlund. He has not been the same Michael Backlund, at least through my eyes, in the last little stretch leading into the break. You could tell whatever sort of injury was bothering him was really taking its toll. I thought you noticed that on the penalty kill, where unfortunately they didn't have someone to take that workload away. While still effective as a shutdown center, I wouldn't say he was as effective as we're used to seeing. And so, you know, for, again, a team that needs to win really close games, as you add these up, you know, what is the sort of cumulative effect of a Zeri and a Ball and a healthy Backlund? I think it's really significant.
Well, and if Backlund returns to where he was prior, I would say it was probably about an 8 to 10 game stretch where he was clearly playing through something and clearly laboring. Before that, he had been one of Calgary's most important players and one of Calgary's best players. And Wilsey, I know that you have brought it up a few times, like how quietly strong a season Michael had been having prior to the injury issue that he was working through. And I'm completely with you on that. In fact, what I think having a healthy Backlund back does, and adding Zeri coming back, is that, look, I get it up in my mentions all the time. It's like, why is Backlund the number two center? Because he's the number two center. And a healthy Michael Backlund gives the Flames a number two line that they can throw out in every situation, protect their number three line with Morgan Frost, and give them a lot of offensive high ground, take the tough head-to-head minutes, take the tough overall volume minutes. The only two forwards that have played more at 5-on-5 per game than Backlund this year are Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri, who are your first line forwards. Michael Backlund, when healthy, anchors this team's second line, and what they've had recently is a number one line and a couple of third lines and a fourth line, because Backlund had been laboring the way he has been. By getting Michael back healthy and by having this week and a half for him to recuperate and recover a little bit, I don't think it can be overstated how massive it could be for this team in their matchup game, in their depth game, in their head-to-head game as they go, and especially knowing six of their next seven are on the road. Oh, and outside of Philadelphia, five of those six are absolute heavy hitters that are going to be extremely difficult games to win on the road, finishing with Dallas before the trade deadline. You need a healthy Michael Backlund and that line playing at its two-way best. And with Zeri back and healthy and with Backlund back and healthy, that is a massive thing for the Flames. I don't think it can be overstated at all.
Absolutely. And let me ask you guys this question. What are the toughest minutes to play?
Penalty kill and shutdown minutes.
Yeah, and he plays both. Mm-hmm. And he plays more on the penalty kill than any other Flames forward. And unless he's in the box, who's out there taking the first face-off on his offside
every
single penalty kill? I mean, he's done a lot of heavy lifting. And, you know, prior to him getting banged up, I thought he was playing some really good hockey. So, you know, great to see him and Blake Coleman back together. They've been a dynamic duo for the Flames for a long time. And then great to see Connor Zeri on that line. You know, he's the young guy and I think brings a little bit different element to that line with Backlund and Coleman. So great to have him back. Great to have him back and feeling good, both physically and mentally. And the Flames are going to make the playoffs. So the captain's going to be a big part of it. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you, Willsy. We'll do it again on Friday. Much less fighting on this round.
Yeah, I'm glad we all got along for once.
No bloodied Wills at the end. We'll do it again on Friday. Thank you, pal. I agree. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg. Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.